Utilities Advisory Committee.
Utilities Advisory Committee, November 29th, 2017.
And he must have kicked Horseman Water.
Is that what he did? Good for you.
Or they kicked.
And Nancy got married last weekend.
Oh, really?
Hey! Who let him down?
I wouldn't put those two in the same.
Yeah, no, I
changing your name doesn't get you off the committee.
I didn't change my name. I changed my name completely.
Jeff chaired the meeting last week, so I'll do it this week.
We had a meeting last week?
No. Last time.
Was it only a week?
3 weeks ago.
Plus, I had to replace my whole septic system because the day before the wedding, our water main blew up on our street. So I finally met Ward.
The water main blew up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that is the septic system?
I'm sure some of it is involved with that, but I won't be able to make that nexus, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's an interesting one. Hmm. All right, so let's look at the agenda, folks.
So we keep having 5 o'clock meetings for her?
For Emily? And
I know.
No, it was originally for me. I'm not talking about Emily. Yeah, and I don't know if I really need them now because, well, it's only another 2 months.
I like the 4 o'clock time frame myself. Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll ask Emily because you're right.
We could go back to the 4 o'clock. Well, if I have to miss an hour, I will. It would be very occasional.
Yeah. Well, she has to travel a long ways.
I was expecting a visitor.
Yeah, because Emily's coming
from the public who wanted to talk about
Port Gamble, the water. Right? Yeah. She's working at Port Gamble.
Oh, all right.
Let's take a look real quick.
Sure, very.
I thought I saw a shadow out there.
She works for Olympic Park.
We're talking about what?
Oh, she got Yakina
OPG.
Yakina
Rose.
Oh,
really?
Yakina.
Really? Yeah. That's me. That's after she joined.
There she is. Abby. We were just celebrating Nancy's wedding.
I got married.
Second marriage is a triumph of hope over experience.
But you can hear the really good news. She gets to replace her septic system.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Those aren't related.
That's
right.
Stop saying
that. It's okay.
It's all the same in my neck now. It's like,
oh. I'll go find out where the first album is for everything.
Not yet?
I don't see anybody.
All right, well, we have no Roger, and we need... Emily did it. Nancy did it last time. Emily did it the time before that. That leaves... I think it's Ted's time.
Okay, I can do that.
Thank you, sir.
He's in a wrist brace, though.
Yeah, but that's...
Are you injured as well?
I'm just falling apart. Just...
The whole committee.
He told me he got his files, UAC files organized.
That's what it is.
Alright, well, the agenda tonight is obviously really one topic, is to talk about all you guys have been doing on fire code, kind of, and talk where we go from here, and where we go from here leads to, we'll talk about that before we get to the document itself, which I tried to play around with to make it a little clearer to me, but that's another subject. So anyhow, did anyone want to do anything else?
Well, we're going to have a guest.
Well, there was a gentleman who called, and he's somewhere up near Yakina and Ferncliff, and he says he was interested, I think because he was rebuilding or something, in water and sewer service, and what could they do to extend it or to connect? And well, you know, come to the committee and talk about it. They've been considering it, the whole area, but then I could talk to him by myself, too. I thought if you wanted to talk to the committee, I said have been addressing this issue for a while now, so if you want to come and add your 2 cents on it, that would be fine.
But had you provided an answer to him wanted to talk to him?
No,
he's not appealing to us.
No, I said, hey, you know, it's an issue that we've been looking at over time. We don't have a plan yet for sure, but things are moving, or things are being discussed, and so...
And he's not part of the system you're taking over?
No, I don't think so. No, I'm sure of that.
He's vacant land, right?
Is he near you?
He says he's at near the intersection of Ferncliff and Yukon. I could look up his address probably.
So why don't we? Yeah. We're just adding.
Is he in between?
We're adding an item.
No, he's farther up.
We're adding an item 4A to talk about Yukon and Casey Street. Just a status report.
And I'd like to, if we have time, I don't have to do it tonight. I'd like to talk about the rate study which council approved.
Okay. 4B is rate study.
Rate study for who?
Water sewer. Remember the rate study we recommended?
Yeah,
Okay, so that's 4B. All right, meeting notes. We have the 25th, and we have the 8th.
I wrote it down, but I didn't bring my notes. What the 25th. Name of that lady was you presented to us?
The 25th. Remember, we didn't have it at the meeting.
The one we
had
was
in here.
Yeah.
Okay. So which one are those?
So we have them both in the package. Here.
Okay. And how do you know one from the other?
Well, because it's a date.
Oh.
There it is.
It's
tight.
Different font.
She actually has started a new. Stocks forming for that.
So. You need names?
Yeah, there was a. On the
well, yeah. Well, we had first on the 25th. That's the one that Emily did.
Right.
And so,
you know, we need to ask Roz. She sends all of this as an attachment to the notice of the meeting. And so when you say accept, it disappears out of the computer.
Doesn't say attached to your, usually says attached to your appointment.
Right, that's what I mean. You have to then go to the appointment calendar and
which
find
it. Which
I
would never look at.
Which I honestly don't look at as well.
Okay.
So I also went
you
on.
Invited to this meeting?
I had an exchange with you because I thought I didn't know what I'd done with it. And I went on the city's website, and the agenda was not posted. There was an announcement of the meeting, but no agenda was available via that route.
As of an hour ago?
Yeah. In fact, I went over to...
I can check.
He's gonna
check me.
Yeah.
My word is not...
No.
I'm sure I did it wrong. So.
I would check.
Well, I mean, if there's a way that you need to do it differently, we can figure that out, maybe.
Check myself on
that.
This is not it. That's
a trouble with the internet now. They can check you just like that.
I know. So.
You got to do city of.
Yeah, that's the right there. So usually you come here and you go to.
I clicked on that. Okay. Click on that.
And
no attachment.
You're right. I mean, I'm not. Usually there's some kind of button or download agenda.
You know what, though? Roz is on vacation, and I bet whoever did it
for
Roz didn't know that it should be attached.
So it'd be nice if Roz would send these out as a document so that...
Email.
And email this, and it's not part of the calendar notice. Because then you can... It's more easy... For me, it's easier to find. I put them in a UAC folder on the computer.
And
they're all there.
Yours too, because I had an old subfolder called From Roz where I kept all these.
Oh,
things.
Did you? Yeah. Well,
she
just
doesn't send any emails anymore. It's just these attachments.
Attachments to the calendar.
Calendar.
Which means, and once you accept, that's gone, and it doesn't. You can't then stick it in the folder. It's not on my computer.
Just tell her to send two things.
Yeah, I can do that.
And that way, it's always because she's very good at. Hounded Jeff and me to get the agenda done and get the notes so it gets out, you know, Friday or Monday at the latest. So anyhow. Okay, so October 25 is what Emily did, and I made one or two, I hardly made any changes to this, and then we're done, and that's kind of the same it was with the meeting of November 8. November 8, I know you filled in names and Nancy had given. So,
What do you think?
I like the motion to approve them both.
Okay.
A second.
On the 25th, did anyone know what Heather's name was?
Who?
Oh, yeah,
Heather of Kitsap County.
Heather?
She was the one who presented. What's this, Heather of Kitsap County, PW, Solid Waste Review?
Oh, the top of the second page. That's
eight.
November 8th.
That's the 8th.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I right, didn't have all the names there.
I had Kelly McKay Means.
Yeah.
No, Pat no. Campbell.
Right.
And Heather, I didn't get her.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There was, what was that, Heather?
And Diane Lane.
Yeah.
Heather, Church?
Oh.
Heather Church. Yeah.
Right. She's.
There it is. Chamber,
she's Chambers Disposal.
Yeah. Oh, right. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
My address is Kitsap County Department of Public Works. She is Kitsap. She's famous. She's called.
Yeah.
Okay. Does that make sense to
you?
So she isn't going to review the solid waste section.
No, I wouldn't. She wouldn't.
She said she would review it and talk to you about it.
I thought it was the other woman who did most of the talking.
Kelly.
Kelly.
Kelly's
there?
Yeah, I don't think
there was another woman sitting behind.
No, it was Pat. That, she was Pat. The one behind.
Maybe it was Pat that said it.
Might have been.
It's Pat.
Campbell.
Campbell.
Maybe it wasn't her.
All right.
That would make more sense.
I
so
thought
Pat
it would.
Campbell would review it with you?
Yeah.
Would that make more sense?
Yes, that makes
let's,
sense.
Let's put that
yeah.
in.
Pat Campbell is Kitsap County Department of Public Works Solid Waste. That's right.
So it's really Kelly McKay Means and Pat Campbell.
Right.
But Pat was the one behind her that specifically
yes.
said, I'll review yes. this with Barry.
Yeah. So that's her.
So maybe we ought to say under Pat Kelly McKay Means and Pat Campbell.
You mean at the beginning?
Yeah, attended for Kitsap County Solid Waste Department, Division, what is it?
Solid Waste Division of the Public Works Department.
Kitsap County Solid Waste Division.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kitsap County Department of Public Works Solid Waste Division.
Yeah, that's good. That covers it.
That's on mouth. Mm-hmm.
All right. So minutes, we'll say 10:25. Okay, 11:08. Minor. Minutes.
What was the private citizens interested?
Attended for the Kitsap County Department of Public Works Solid Waste Division. Period. Ms. McKay Means discussed the what is it, the County Solid Waste Management Plan?
Counties.
Yeah. Draft. Solid.
Well, that's all on the first page, I think.
Right, yeah. I'm gonna. Okay.
So I didn't have Heather in there at all.
Yeah, we didn't have her on attendees.
So
guess,
let's have Heather. What's Heather Church?
Heather Church.
Yeah, I didn't get any of their names. Heather Church's Bainbridge Disposal.
Right.
That should be added into who was present.
Right.
Heather Church, who owns that company now? Does the Palmer family still own it? You know?
I think she does. It's just the church. Mm-hmm. Her husband used to
I mean, that was Don Palmer that owned that. Yeah.
Well, she's his daughter.
Right? She's his daughter.
Yeah, yeah. That's why it's called Don Palmer Road. Yeah.
That's
what they call it.
Heather Church is the daughter of Don Bounce. Yeah. Here.
Mm-hmm. American Church.
Okay, so do you want to have this marked up, or do you want to approve it with these handwritten changes, and Roz can make them all? I was going to hear. I'll just. We're going to add it to also present Heather Church of Avery's disposal. At the beginning, it'll say Kelly McKay Means and Pat Campbell attended for Kitsap County Department of Public Works Solid Waste Division. Ms. McKay Means discussed the county's draft solid waste management plan. She mentioned the fact that the city of Avondale adopts the plan, that Kitsap County declares that to pay for a separate plan. Okay. And then in the second page, it should be, instead of a question mark, we give a real name, Church of Bainbridge disposal.
No, we're saying it's Pat Campbell.
I'm sorry, that's Pat
Campbell. Kitsap County Department of Public Works Solid Waste.
I'm glad you remember that. Pat Campbell. Yes. Okay. All right. With those changes,
everyone
all right. Yeah. So,
aye.
With those changes, are these acceptable?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Passes. All right. That's. I'll give it to Roz, and she'll make the changes, and we can sign next to it. Okay. Public comment. Okay. Fire code. So, as you remember last meeting, we Jeff said you guys were still working, and so here we are.
Yeah, so, Gary, if you pull up the city map that she was planning, the island's planning map.
Like for the water systems?
No.
Oh, like the zoning?
Zoning, no. Yeah. That's the word. Zoning. Yeah. Where you can get there from the website. It's how I get there.
Yeah.
So there's really two issues that they're kind of disparate, but they may come together before we're done tonight. One is our efforts to try to figure out what the city does in terms of its role in water systems. And the other is to try to reconcile two versions of this draft, one that the original one that Jim and I did, and then an amended version. I started to try to put the two together, but I was realizing I was editing to the point that I was changing the context significantly without consideration. So I backed off and said, okay, we kind of all need to look at the two versions, because otherwise you're going to see a third version that doesn't represent either one. So I wanted to first start off with talking about our efforts to take a look at what the city does in terms of its process. And this was kind of brought up a few weeks, some time ago. We got to talking about Torvanger Meadows, way up to the north end of the island. And what went on to improve the water system up there? And so we started looking into that. And
can you overlay the roads?
It'll get there. It should.
Oh, it does. Okay.
Yeah.
It's kind of the zoning is a
so
little bit.
R1's in green.
That's R1, and this is R. 0.4, and that's R2.
Okay. Yeah, slightly different colors.
Which one is 2?
This one here, the darker.
No, that's 1.
That's 1. This is 2. Over there. Mm-hmm. And this is 0.4 over here.
So, can you find Torvanger in there?
Not a whole lot of difference between 2 and.
Yeah, it's way up there.
Those are supposed to be different colors.
I see it. It's right by
your
cursor. Yeah, one's
right
here.
Right there. That's Torvanger.
I think all the sort of beige.
Well, the shoreline, the bottom line is the shoreline's R2 and the middle of the island's R0.4. That's generally what you got. Mm-hmm.
So this
except
one.
Except for Torvanger.
Except for the green, which is the R1s, which are scattered around the island, wherever the county just
approve subdivisions.
So the process was interesting in that it was...
is that Torvinger Estates, the green?
Well, not all of that. Torvinger is a little cul-de-sac.
It's a little cul-de-sac. Where is what way? This way goes.
Do you Torvinger go?
It goes all the way across. It connects Madison to Sunrise.
Right.
Yeah. I've got to go around the middle of it somewhere.
If you keep just drilling in, don't you get streets?
Well, they show up, but then they blur up. I mean, as I...
Yeah.
You want to, like, bring it to the top? I can try to...
Yeah, Jeff. Mm-hmm.
That's not...
Oh, why does it show it and then it disappears?
Because it has the overlay.
Well, maybe it has to take a while to fill in.
No, I think the zoning overlay just...
Can we take the zoning off for a second, find where we're going, and then lay it back down?
Yeah.
Jeez, there's a practical way to do it.
So I was going to do, so I was going to go down here, turn off the zoning, see. It'll be streets, maybe if I cut, maybe that'll make it better.
Roger.
Roger! We assigned your job.
Fun with public transportation.
We assigned your job.
Oh,
well.
I'm going to get rid of this zoning.
So here's what we're trying to do.
Now you're just
my bus got lost, actually.
That's
never happened.
What?
From the ferry terminal
area.
No, I went
home. Town?
Oh. But, so then the center.
That's
for you.
There are almost not enough roads
to
get lost.
Here's what we're trying to do.
Between here and there.
Trying to figure out.
See which one it is?
Up a little bit.
Keep going.
Trying to figure out.
What?
It's that, what's the curvy road?
It's not it, that
sunrise.
Go down further. How about that one?
Code requirement.
What's that one called?
Is that day?
Something imposed on the water system that's a service.
Here's Torvinger.
Okay.
Yeah, so you're right on the Torvinger Meadows subdivision.
This is it.
Okay, there's 10 units in there.
Okay. Well, you know that's in the green strip. It has to
be. Yeah, we know it's in the green strip.
Okay. Yeah.
That's R1, right?
Okay.
So are those 1 acre lots?
Well, this is where it gets real interesting. So,
so let's just look at the development for a second. So
those don't look like 1 acre lots.
This here.
No. So it's this right here, right?
Yeah. 10 lots.
Mm-hmm. And there's 10 lots,
mm-hmm.
but that's not 10 acres.
Right.
Presumably.
Yeah, well, it turns out nothing along there is probably an acre.
So it's zoned R1.
Yeah.
It's zoned R1.
It's zoned R1, 40,000 square foot lots.
Grandfathered and denser.
Well, if it's like the rest of the county, take 100 acres and develop 50 of them, and you shove all your density into one side so that you save the other side open, then you sell the open side.
Yes.
That's what they do.
They do that in Boulder, Colorado.
Okay.
Too.
Kids have done it all the time.
But they're not. They're not clustering this because there's no. You see, those are
separate properties.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So they're not clustering.
They're so,
okay, go ahead. What did you find out?
Lots, but they're not.
So anyway, so that's when we started investigating. So we went to the planning department. And we asked to see what the water requirements were for it, and they said, "Well, we don't have any. You've got to go to Public Works." And we went to Public Works, and they sent us to Mr. Michaels, who we've been dealing with, and so Jim and I sat down with Mr. Michaels, and we opened the file, and that's where it said one fire hydrant 30 feet in and 500 and some odd feet a 2-inch line. But we couldn't find any approvals. We couldn't find where anything had gone on. So,
and just to be clear, this is North Bainbridge System owned by KPUD.
Yes.
That's where they're getting the water. They're not drilling a well. Right. They're getting water from North Bainbridge.
Good point. So finally, I called Luke. I said, "So, what was the deal up there at Torvinger Meadows?" And he starts into this whole thing. Says, "Well, we put a fire hydrant right at the beginning there, at the entrance to the intersection, and it complies with the area's zone R.4 to R1." And here is his memo. The only way I got it was to do a public records request. And he had written it to Josh Mitchum, so it ended up on the planning side, and they just didn't know they had it. But what clearly is confusing about it is Luke is citing the what you can do if you have zoning of 0.4, which is 2.5 acres, right?
Yes. One lot per 2.5.
To R1, which is one house per acre, and what the requirements are that you can do if you've got 500 gallons a minute, and how you can make that work. And then you pull up the map and you go, well, wait a minute. But so we don't care what it is, as long as we care what the zoning is, we don't care what's actually there.
but you know what, the zoning is wrong. That's R1.
So
but we should be applying possibly the actual densities with.
So yeah, so now I haven't gone back to Luke and said, but so Luke, do you go by the zoning regardless of? So,
well, the issue really is why are there 10 houses?
Yeah, I mean, was this grandfathered in when it was zoned R1 and was already subdivided before then? I don't know how it got.
So it's R1, but they're building a 0.4 acre lots.
No, they have reversed.
They're probably yeah,
maybe. That looks something like that.
Yeah, not 0.4 density, but 0.4 acres.
Yeah,
no. 0.4 acres. R0.4 is a 2.5 acre lot.
She's saying it's zoned R1, but they're building half acre lots.
So they're building R2.
Can't tell how big the lots are.
R2 is a number less than one.
Well, right. The point is, those are 5 acre pieces.
The rectangle is five acre.
And so it's half acre nominal.
Right. Yeah. So it looks like they're building R2 when it's zoned R1, and the answer is why. We don't know the answer.
Right, so I'm sitting there going, well, I'm really confused. So then what do we apply where? So the other one we went
well, are you done with our anger? Is that a question?
Well,
before you go.
Okay, yeah.
So how much water is available from North Bainbridge?
It's over 500 gallons a minute at 20 pounds.
Is there something in the file that says that there's water available?
Well, Luke said he tested it, but
yeah,
but I don't see that in the file. I didn't see that in the file. Of course, I didn't see the file. All I got was what I asked for, which was a memo. So that's what they gave me. So the process really is totally befuddling there. So then I asked Luke. I said, so. Now explain to me, KPUD took over Crystal Springs Water District.
District.
And they replaced the 3-inch line with a 4-inch line.
So does everybody know what he's talking about?
Just mm-hmm. So you're clear.
Down.
Basically runs from Point White Pier all the way out.
Down here, there was a little water district.
District.
Yeah.
Separate from South Bainbridge.
Created by the voters, RCW 57, local government water district with 20 houses on it, created long, long time ago.
Okay? KPUD took over.
And
no,
here's what I know about it, because Penny Lamping, you can do the Lamping, right. They live on this system. And Penny called me up years ago saying, I'm tired of keeping track of this. Can somebody do this stuff? Anyhow, so as Doug Schultz told me that they came to the city and talked to you guys and said, do you want to take us over? Because they want to get out of business. And you all said that doesn't make any sense. It's in the middle of South Bainbridge system taking over to PUD. So you ought to go to them. So they went to them. And that's all.
That was a couple of years ago.
That was about 2 years ago. Yeah, yeah. Something like that.
Longer, right?
Yeah.
Longer.
So KPUD, they want to disappear and be consolidated. That's
So PUD extended the line now.
So PUD, KPUD comes in and extends their line with according to their engineer, with a new 4-inch line. And I'm talking to Luke about this. And Luke's going, they did what? Well, they replaced the 3-inch line that was servicing that community with the 4-inch line from their service. Well, that should have been a 6-inch line. This is the first I've ever heard about it.
Really?
So I'm like, oh, okay, so what are the rules?
So Jeff, up on Torbank, right? My notes weren't fast enough. What size pipe did they put in and what?
Well, they put a 6-inch pipe from the main line on toward Vanger to the fire hydrant, because as long as it's under 50 feet, you can do 6 inches. You don't have to put 8 inches.
There's probably an 8-inch line toward Vanger.
So yeah, the hydrant's right close to the
road. Yeah, the hydrant's right on the
right
corner.
Right there, yeah.
And then from there, it's 500 feet of 2-inch line to service all the homes. Now, I don't know, first of all, is that a private street versus a city street? There's some,
I think it's a...
KPD thought it was a private street.
It might be, I don't know.
Have you driven up there?
I think it's a public street. So if it's a public street, wouldn't the city have something to say about what pipe went in their right of way? But the problem is it's not their right of way until it all gets dedicated to them. So you got this whole process of when does the street get dedicated to them?
And the code enforcement isn't looking at it.
Well, it's just.
And then what fire flow did they test?
They tested that hydrant and got over 500 gallons a minute, which is what Luke wanted.
And what is not being done? The line is too thin?
Well, the question is one of the process. When a water system does an extension or an upgrade, the question is, what's the city's involvement? And it seems that we have two completely different avenues depending on whether it's a city water system, the city water system, or it's a non-city water system, and what they're going to do with it, whether they're going to extend it or upgrade it.
And it sounds like there might be a different flavor whether the road exists yet or whether they're putting it in.
Well, that's the thing. There seems to be all these variables, and depending on the variables, you get different outcomes for
so
what ends up to be.
So reviewed it, but the city didn't review it for how the line stayed.
Well, the Loop reviewed it for the zoning that existed, not the zoning that was used to do the development.
And would it have made a difference though?
Oh yes, yeah. Wouldn't have the fire flow wouldn't have been adequate. I mean, that's the kind of situation. That's the same thing you see off of.
So it's adequate if they were an acre lot, but it's not adequate for half acre lots.
Well, it's basically the same development. This is just another D.R. Horton repeat of what they did over off of Wyatt. And that's all 1,000 gallons a minute plus.
Except that D.R. Horton, that Wyatt is zoned like R3.5
it's pretty high.
Or 4.3 or something.
Yeah.
It's a much higher density than that.
Higher than this, you think?
Yeah.
Well, let's look it up.
The zoning is there.
That's
well, the zoning is R1, but... But that's not R1.
So if it's zoned R1 and you go to put in a development and you have a hearing and they approve you as an exception to the zoning, do they change the zoning or they just note you as an exception?
It could be a variance.
Let's just do
it. Well, there are a couple of the infrastructure requirements.
Do they meet the fire flow for hot acre lots under our current code?
No.
Okay. Did not meet.
I don't think so. I have to double check. But
that's what I'm interested in.
Well, at the very least, it should be applied, right?
So is Luke going to look at it again?
First grow.
No.
So just on the zoning thing, we don't know why there's that greater density there.
There's
right.
Yeah, that you're on the right.
It shouldn't be based on zoning. It should be based on the density of the actual
places.
Here's Grove on the right.
I think it's this.
But it doesn't, because you can have a far
zoning.
There's those two big drainage basins on the south side.
But those are... Were, I don't know if they still are. Only in Winslow, outside the rest of the
area. But even in Winslow, you need that kind
4.3.
of...
4.3.
But
4.3.
So Wyatt, the ones on Wyatt, and probably the one on Winslow Reserve, Winslow Green, or Grove, or Winslow Grove, those are zone 4.3. So 4.3 houses per acre. Mm-hmm. What we don't know is what... back in Torbank, or why it has that greater density. We can find out. Planning department should know.
But even if it's okay to have greater density, then the requirements that attach to it should affect, we should reflect the actual density, not the zoning.
Of course, yes.
Yeah, I mean, you can look all up and down. If you just go to the city website and look on the planning map, and you can see it plain as day, the zoning, and see that all along the Sunrise are all these small lots. That are obviously not 1 acre,
and they're not meeting fire flow requirements.
Well,
under our current code.
But they're not doing anything. So they don't
So when you told them that it wasn't meeting, it was a half acre lot?
Well, I didn't go back to him yet, because this is kind of like, he told me this is how he justified it, and then it was subsequent that I started looking at the plant, the documents, and I saw this, and
they weren't
staff, and I'm going, well, wait a minute, this doesn't fit.
Ireland Fire Department.
No, surveys where Luke works for the fire district, which is called department, but it's not a department, it's a district. And he provides fire marshal services that are normally provided by the city fire marshals. He provides that on a contract basis between the district and the city. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
He could
work for the city. He should work for the city, but he contracted the work out. So, just...
He has two hats.
He's
so
got
he
two.
Should be concerned about that.
Well, yeah. So where this is all kind of leading me is I'm a little concerned about going forth to some recommendation to council without actually telling council what we think we should be doing on this island when I can't tell them what we are doing on this island. And I kind of feel like we first really kind of need to back up and go, well, wait a minute, do we really have disconnect, or is I'm just not getting to the right people to understand how the pieces fit together and go, yeah, it tracks. You just haven't been filled in on how it works. And so...
Well, we had our meeting with KPUD, too, with their engineer.
Yeah, what about that?
With respect to this one. And basically, my impression was they didn't have anything reviewed when they were putting it together.
Right. They had the fire hydrant requirement, and that was... but, you know, it goes through DOH, so the Department of Health reviews it. They didn't think there was any city involvement there. But they think the city... I think you said the city was involved in Crystal Springs approving the 4-inch line, as I recall. The planning department said, yeah, that's fine. You can upsize it one. And they signed
off. Made an exception, maybe?
Well, they didn't make an exception. They didn't consider, the fire department didn't consider it. So I don't know.
So on Torbank, the Department of Health reviewed it.
Yeah. Well, Department of Health.
Why would the health look at
that? That seems kind of.
I don't think you can modify your system without Department of Health signing off on the engineering plans.
I mean,
because it's a water system.
You're talking about health reviewing the modification of the PUD system.
Right.
As opposed to the review of the developer's system.
Right. I think just about everything you do, you need an engineer, approved engineering stamp, and then DOH goes, yeah, okay, and pay your fee. And then they say somewhere, and you will follow local code.
So we think there was really no city review other than of Torbanger.
No, city fire marshal. There's city planning.
There's no city fire marshal review other than they are really doing it. It's just that he works for the fire district department.
Yeah. That's what I mean. City fire marshal. He's officially that.
So we don't really, so it comes down to we don't really understand the process, and I'm a little at ease with what the protocol is for me to keep asking questions of staff without, you know, having a proper contact. I mean, on the public works side, we have Barry.
Right. And the planning department reviewed it for zoning and construction and vegetation and stuff.
They outsource pieces.
For fire flow, right?
You know, they outsource pieces of it. So, I mean, we're not on Torbanger anymore, but Torbanger, they're all on septic, so that health district would have had to review all the septic design or layout. And typically then, you know, similar, I assume that if it was not in the city water service area, then the water provider would review it. And I guess they did. So they did it. They reviewed it and approved it, but maybe they're not aware that the fire marshal did a check on that.
That's exactly the point.
Yeah.
The pathway toward who is really approving outside of the city's service area is murky.
Yeah.
Well, there's two different approvals I'm learning from you guys, which is really helpful. One is the approval of the development, you know, just within that cul-de-sac, what's going to be built. to provide water to those houses. And the second is the approval and impact on the water system outside it. The one who would normally look at that is the owner of the system, the PUD. From my work in the past advising water utilities, the typical drill is the developer walks in the door and says, I'm going to do this, and the system looks back and looks at their computer run and says, yep, we got enough water.
Right, we've got storage, we got
water. We got water, we can provide you 1,000 GPM or 1,500 or whatever it is, and they give you a certificate of water availability, and the guy goes, great. And
then they also say, and this is how you have to connect to our system.
Exactly. These are the standards, this is what you're going to do, all that stuff.
So KPUD would have told them what the standards were.
Yeah, that's where it gets, I think, with our standards saying you got to have 8-inch ductile iron pipe in the road. I think that's a legacy of Wind's Law. And it didn't really apply to the whole island, but it's still in place. Because we can't really tell PUD. In essence, PUD is just operating a system in our right-of-way with a franchise agreement. We're not really regulating them any other way.
Right. That's right.
And can we? I mean, can we say that any new construction on your service areas?
Well, I mean, I guess if we had, I was thinking, well, we can regulate in what they can do in the road, and how they have to repair, and how deep they have to bury the line, those kind of things. And I guess if we thought, well, we eventually want to take over all these systems, so we want a standard across the island, and we're going to implement a higher standard or a standard, you know, maybe we, but that's not what happened, has happened yet.
No, but in the utilities, by the way, that I advise, which are typically water, independent water districts, they operate in rights of way.
Yeah.
They operate in city right of way and many city rights of way. So it's not unusual. And the city really doesn't care the size of the water line in the road. That's up to the water system.
Right.
They just want to make sure it meets, you know, they pave it right and put.
Exactly.
So who answers about the pavement?
Well, we do that because we give them a right-of-way permit.
The Department of Public Works.
We give them a permit to dig up our road, and then we come out and inspect it, make sure they have to give us a bond for restoration, and they have to make sure they restore the road fully as we specify.
You like check the compaction of the dirt.
Yeah, and we check make sure it's half width improvement and the saw cuts and the ceiling and joints and all those kind of typical things.
But you don't care. But the water system can put in whatever line it wants.
Yeah, in essence, it's their utility. They want to put in. They have the right. I mean, we've given them the right to put things in our right of way.
That document of the standards.
And that's what I'm saying. That's a legacy thing. Mm-hmm. I think we've had these standards for umpteen years, and they really were designed and put in place to regulate Winslow, the city of Winslow. And our own systems, and it's really, I think it's inappropriate to apply that standard to other people, other utilities.
So kind of where I'm going is two things. One, this whole argument of these little systems can't upgrade because they can't meet the 1,000-gallon standard. Well, here, we can show you a subdivision that knew that wasn't required to meet the 1,000-gallon standard. So I'm a little uncomfortable there about going to council and telling them there's a standard we're not meeting that we're supposed to meet, but we're not sure we need to meet it. And also, I don't see the point of this committee of potential stakeholders trying to get together to figure out what is it the city actually does. That's the wrong end of the that's the wrong end of the candle there. And first, the city should be able to figure out what its process or involvement is in the different scenarios. And get that down, and then we can take a look at that and say, okay, does that need to be fixed? But without that, I think we're starting to chase our tail here and realizing that because of the way it works, it doesn't fit together, and it needs to have a decision tree that you can follow down. Is it in this particular zoning? Is it in this particular system? And you work your way down from there and be able to take any piece of property and figure it out from there and then say, okay, those are the standards we need to change.
Don't I remember in our KPUD discussion, too, that they are following primarily county code, Kitsap County code, particularly in
non-urban areas, which is
great. I had a really interesting talk with the general manager of the Silverdale Water District. And that's 25 square miles. That's a big system in terms of territory that it covers.
That's Morgan Johnson.
Yeah, and he was a wealth of information, although most of it had no in the play of all of our little systems. But a couple of little tidbits. In Kitsap County, a developer can come in and do a six-unit development as long as none of the homes are over 3,600 square feet, no fire flow is required. That's a long... I asked Luke about that. He said, no, you couldn't do that on Bay Beach. And I was really surprised. And he said, so that's what happens. We get these little six... He said, in theory, the whole county could be have no fire flow because it could all be these little six...
This is a long-standing issue with water service in the unincorporated areas.
And I don't know, but those are standalone shared wells. Those aren't connected to his system, right?
Well, that's
what they do. Yeah, is that they because he's not going to provide water?
Now you got a fire flow.
Right, so they avoid connecting to the big system by doing a single shared well.
And the other thing he said is commercial properties pay $5.50 a square foot fire protection fee as an upfront fee when you build a commercial building. I don't know how that relates to anything we do, but so he said that fee for commercial buildings ranges between $19,000 and $107,000 per building.
Do you think that would buy water tank trucks, pumper trucks, and stuff?
Yeah, but I don't know what we do as an equivalent.
Which is a very temporary solution.
It's interesting. Talking about Silverdale Water,
don't last.
Silverdale Water is a big district geographically.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like Winslow. I mean, it's like Bainbridge. It has the commercial core, which is dense and commercial, and it has all that rural land in central Kitsap. So they got to be...
Well, Ted showed that could be the worst fire danger of all when you sent out that map. That's where the fire danger is.
Right,
I'm wondering about Bill Point. So Bill Point wants to put in new lines. What standard do they have to meet? You're not part of the city of Bainbridge Island water. You're only underneath their street. Is Barry going to make you put in an 8-inch line because it's under the street? That's what we want to know.
Well, see, this is the problem with the way the system is set up. Is we go to an engineer, which we did.
Mm-hmm.
The same one KPUD now has as their engineer. And we ask them to design the system.
Yeah.
First thing he does is he pulls out the city standards. And he
why didn't he do that for KPUD?
And why didn't he do it for Torbanger?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's because it's a private street.
I don't know. You know, I'm going to tell you, Ward Frost just told me this weekend that he put in whatever size line he wants to put in. But the problem he ran into with the city was repaving the road. He just wanted to repave the strip that it was under, and the city wanted him to repave the entire
road.
That's
the half width I was just mentioning briefly there.
Which he'll now have to do, by the way, because they've washed out the street. So, I want to question Ward about that more to see, you know, to get to you guys, if you want to repair, maybe you don't have to do this 8-inch line.
Yeah, I think you can replace like for like. So you can replace a piece of pipe with what you had before.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you try to replace the system and reconfigure it any differently, I think that's where you get into trouble with the city standards. So. And that's what I'm saying. The city is in this kind of passive-aggressive position. And they don't even realize they're having that impact on the small water system because...
Because you're right, it is. It's the fire marshal who works for the fire district, not the city, who's dealing with it, and the engineer for the developer or the engineer for the water system that isn't working with the city.
But the fire marshal didn't require it in Torbanger. Why would this engineer think he's going to require it down there? Was the engineer making a mistake?
No, well... he wasn't being inconsistent because they managed to keep the fire hydrant out of the development. So
these guys have a fire hydrant, you don't.
Well, no, because the fire hydrant's within the first 30 feet of the development. So then it's just service lines to the home. Those can be smaller. Mm-hmm. But where your service lines are also your fire lines, those all have to be...
So what we thought was a problem to make it so that small systems can consolidate economically and not have to go for a too expensive fire flow requirement, it's turned into something else, that for new development we have a whole mess of approval levels that are inconsistent for fire flow. Right?
Then, well, yeah, I'm not sure I use the word inconsistent. We clearly don't understand it. And it doesn't...
But I can't imagine who else you would talk to that would know. I mean, you're getting to the principals who are submitting plans and approving plans.
That's the real question.
That's why we need a committee of these guys to sit down and decide what they
think. Instead of that, what we need to do is come up with a recommendation that might take more study of what a fire flow recommendation should be for all the land on the island, considering actual density, and regardless of who owns it, and regardless of who's going to approve it and whose system's getting modified. But for all new development, there should be one standard.
But what about old development? Upgrading?
Yeah, that's where we started.
Yes, yeah.
Right, but I think getting the new one down first, because there's more license, if you will, to apply a standard to somebody who's coming in and say, we want you to build safe, than we have when we're going to burden somebody who's got an existing system.
Well, I agree. That is a definite. But what do we do about the old ones?
Yeah, because what you're also doing is what the system that's required is also a function of what it is you're going to build. Mm-hmm. So, and there are all those standards, and that's where you get into the National Fire Protection.
Right, but it could be as simple as a flow chart that just says what standard applies for every situation, whether it's residential or commercial, and whether it's in the fire, in a service area or not.
So it's...
Well, we have that. That's the code. That's,
yeah.
That's
just a matter of how is it really... That sounds like the application of that is somewhat...
Yeah, that's what the new one seems to me is okay for new development. If the problem is...
Except for doing work on Torbaker.
Yeah, except for Torbaker.
Yeah, it didn't... But that's because it's KPUD versus the city, so that does need to have some kind of...
Now, the fire code in Luke is a city, is an island-wide authority.
But somehow it got lost in the thing because it's not a city. It's not the city of Bainbridge Island water. It's KPUD's water. KPUD is approving the size of the pipe.
But they still have to meet up the fire protection standard for the island.
Right, because you're saying it got lost. I'm not sure it did get lost. It's just it because the issue is the only question really is the 1,000 versus 500.
Mm-hmm.
Required.
Mm-hmm. And they got 500? Torbaker got 500?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
because of the zoning. I mean, that's what he cites it right here.
So it was the zoning versus the actual development.
Maybe it was just a mistake he made. He shouldn't have looked at the zoning. He should have looked at the actual development. He made a mistake.
That may be.
Or it was misrepresented him at the moment. Nothing's on it.
Well, that may be exactly what happened.
It might be just a mistake.
If the plat, you look at that plat.
The one
if you look at the plat, which is the planning,
right.
It tells you the slot sizes. That's pretty clear.
Yeah, it does say.
Well, let's ask Luke. Why didn't you look at the lot sizes versus what the zoning is?
Yeah, it may only be. Are you? Yeah, it's right here.
Right there.
Move up.
Yeah, it's gonna
get a little. Isn't it in the
right hand
corner?
Yeah, it tells you it's zero.
But sometimes you don't need to rewrite the law. You just made a mistake.
R1.
But that's the zoning.
But in fact, you got 10 lots on 5 acres, so it's
it's not our lot.
Can you zoom in on that? Does it show the dimensions of the lots?
No, this for some reason it's not finally platted or something because the specific details per lot are not in there.
Oh, it hasn't gotten updated.
We don't have any of the details on the lot sizes in there.
But if you know that's
right on the adjacent.
This is Kitsap Parcel Search, right?
Down here or something.
But if that's five.
City site.
What's that? Why don't you pick one with looks like a building on it, maybe?
Yeah, that's what I just did. So that's a 0.94, but it's zero. It's R1, yeah.
Well, but that's an acre.
Yeah, and that one.
Yeah, but look across the street. Look how close those are. Those are smaller lots than the new one.
But that's in the 2.5 green area.
That's still R1, 1 acre.
Yeah. Huh. Well, they're not
1 acre.
So,
well, here's the question. Maybe those are 1 acre lots.
I mean, they look about, well, these...
if this is an acre, gang,
then
there could be 10 of them.
Maybe they're acres.
Yeah, just unfortunately, the data's not loaded yet.
So that could be a 10-acre square instead of a 5-acre square?
Which could be a 10-acre
square. No, well, then that's a difference. Then there was no mistake.
Then there's no mistake. Well, we used to know that
one. Disparaged the whole time.
Well, no,
that could be 10 acres.
Because then two of these should be 5 each, right, maybe? That's 4.5 acres.
Uh-huh.
And that was probably about 5.5 acres or something. Yeah, 5 yeah, acres.
So that's 10 acres.
So this is 5
acres.
So it's an acre each.
No, that's so.
All right.
It was all up on
the
up and up.
We don't need to change the bottom.
That's amazing. I need to go out there and look at them.
Oops, okay.
There's your notes.
Fix that.
Yeah,
good.
Scratch out all that you wrote.
So let's think about that.
10 acres.
So... So R1s have 500 GPM.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
R1 and...
0.4.
No, and lesser.
Size of the building, too.
So R1 and 0.4.
Right. Would both be 500.
And then the other standard would be how far does the fire hydrant have to be, or how close to
300
the fire?
Feet.
So this is less than 300 feet to this house out here or somewhere.
Yeah, to the end of the cul-de-sac.
But it's not the end of the cul-de-sac. It's
well, that
the
one
structure doesn't.
Like it's
well, the structure. Yeah. Well, the fire hydrant. Well, yeah. The house has to be within 300 feet, so they must.
Well,
have
that's a long way.
So what you said is they put a 6-inch line and extended a hydrant off, or they left it right off the right.
It's
the
right at the intersection. Okay. Yeah. But it's on a 6 inches on a 6-inch line because. You can do that if it's less than 50 feet.
Yeah, so that gets you the fire flow at the hydrant and the distribution, it doesn't matter as long as that's just a hygiene factor for the people.
Mm. So, God, it's just hard to believe those are 1 acre parcels.
Yeah, I actually rode my bike in there and I looked and it does not feel to me like that's 10 acres.
Yeah, I know.
Well, they're very long and thin, some of them.
Yeah, but there is, it's
the frontages are pretty
narrow.
Is
this anything
it's
like
really
the one off of Wyatt? I mean,
it reminds me of my old.
Well, it's all D.R. Horton.
I think those are much
smaller.
Yeah.
And the lot size.
Both of them.
Yeah, they're not the land.
They're
not the land. I totally get that.
Yeah, I know you do. So Horton's building the house.
But I'm just saying maybe the houses make it feel small.
Well, there's only a couple houses up being built now. They're not really up.
All right, so assuming that he's right. In his approval.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So where does that leave us?
Well, we're still back to, I think we should focus more on, like, these guys as examples. What if they do want to improve? What are the rules and regs? Now, we know what new development is. What we don't know is, do the new development laws apply to upgrades of old ones? That's the question. Mm-hmm. And that's what's holding him up from making his repairs. And so do we need a committee to investigate that issue of made up of Group A's and maybe at least one Group B and the city fire marshal to start discussing what should the rules be so that the engineers that come in to help him make it have an actual code to work with for upgrading old systems? We don't have that, apparently.
So, devil's advocate, why don't we want to hold them to the new standard?
Well,
if it's about fire safety,
that's a good question. Maybe
that's
for
the
committee to
pretty
decide.
Pretty soon, you're talking about major storage facilities and so
right.
on. So.
I would like because now we're going to have to become experts. All
well,
of us
that
like,
would push.
I would like the guys that actually run the water systems to start arguing about that with the city fire, the fire code marshal, and not us to tell them what to do. Until, because there's so many different angles that are coming into
right.
this. There's the
Emily.
Building.
But I think Emily's right that if your neighbor has the 1,000 gallons, or minute for 60,000 gallons storage, and you don't tap into that, that covers you.
That's
so
a couple
it makes you want to connect. Because that same 60,000 gallons can service a 10 house development or 100 houses, right? You're not assuming all the houses are on fire at once. Which is the
yeah, you have to put maximum.
Which is the Santa Rosa scenario, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, which could be us 100 years from now. You know,
could be true.
So the choices you have, one is have a committee of what I'll call it a water coordinating committee get together to consider all of this and see if we can come up with standards for improving water systems. That's the charge. Or do we have the staff or somebody do an analysis of our current review process of development or improvements to water systems?
I think improvements to water systems, I don't really think there's a problem with the new ones. That's pretty clear. We want them to meet that code. They can afford to. And it's the older system.
Okay, so
we're trying to encourage them to upgrade.
But maybe both of them.
And be better.
We're asking for... what's our goal? Our goal is greater cooperation and consolidation of small water systems. Right? Mm-hmm. Is that our goal?
Yes.
So how are we doing that?
And it's not about the fire. It's about the health and the aquifer issues.
Well, it's all of it.
I think it all fits in together.
Well, it seems like we're willing maybe to wave the fire a little bit.
But depends on the system.
I said, and I talked to Luke about that at that meeting, well, wouldn't it be nice if these two were able to upgrade a little and improve their fire flow, maybe not at the level of the new ones, but improve it, and then we get increased safety versus, I just don't want to do anything because it's too expensive.
Right, it's a combination. There's a number of reasons you'd want a water system to
improve.
Right, okay.
So the choice is
cost prohibitive. They may never do it until what happens on my street now.
Perfect become the enemy. Right.
So we have three choices.
Yes. There you go.
We have three choices. Do nothing, which is what we've been doing. Have the staff do it, which has impact on staff and money and other work. Or get a committee to deal with it, right? Isn't that the choices we have?
And I did talk to Warden. He would like to be on the committee. What else discusses these things? Cooperation, not just fire flow, but cooperation, consolidation, and using each other's
resources. So he's the Meadowmere manager?
He's the Meadowmere guy. He thought that was a good idea. Yeah. He was like, yeah!
Well, he said,
that's good then.
Was that the same guy we talked with?
Yes.
He's all about putting together some kind of little coordinating group for Class A systems anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be great.
Exactly.
Let me give you an exact example of what we're talking about here. I discovered that on our system, that if we had a fire and the power was out, that all we had was a dribble, basically. And the line went through the fire pump, so if the fire engine started to suck on our hydrant, they wouldn't get much because it had to go through that to come out of the storage tank. We've got a 30,000-gallon storage tank.
Throttled by an inactive pump.
Right. And then, we started thinking, well, okay, what happens when the power goes out for 3 or 4 days? Am I going to get any water at all? No, we're not. So we put in a 6-inch modification to bypass the fire pump so we'd get a direct suction when we need it. It cost us $7,000. We didn't get anybody's approval other than we called up the fire department and Luke and his guys came over and said, I said, well, we can, put in a 6-inch or a 4-inch or a 6-inch. So please put in a 6-inch. That'll make everything so much easier. Mm-hmm. And that's what we did. So that's an exact example of the kind of stuff we're talking about for all these little water systems. It's a lot of money, $7,000, right, for that one small modification.
Well, how many units were paying?
18.
Yes,
$500
each. $500 each.
Well, that's in addition to everything else.
But yeah, but that's a good deal for the safety that you improved upon.
Exactly.
And
that's the way you got to sell it. But if you're talking about a 6 or 7 user system, and you're starting to talk about this kind of thing, it gets ridiculous.
I see that being really awkward for the staff to do it because they're going, what are our rules?
Well,
do we have any permission to compromise on any of this?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's another thing is the one thing I thought about is, does the UAC do this in some manner? And remember, this committee's been criticized over time for going outside of the current utilities that the city owns, right? Because
plus, I don't think we're as expert as
correct.
Jim and Ward we don't know with running these things, right?
Right.
They're the guys that need to be on the committee.
Do we need to be part of that committee?
Well, somebody. Well, we somebody need a liaison here, yes, from the UAC, definitely. Yeah, yeah.
This, by the way, was totally full circle to when I first got involved in water in the early 1980s. The county created a Bainbridge Island Water Coordinating Committee.
Oh, great.
And I still, and Dick Brown, who used to run the Lower Reserve, and I were the co-chairs of that committee.
Then it can be done. What happened to it?
We did the very first USGS study.
Nobody was getting paid, so they all just sort of said.
No, we actually went on with it for about 6 or 7 years, and then we got involved in the All Island.
Yeah, there was other things you had to attend.
Well, you got involved in the All Island incorporation.
I actually still have
a box. We're talking about. I still have a box of that.
So the question that I'm coming up with is: do we need a committee, or do we just need the city to reconsider its?
Right.
It's right-of-way requirements, and say, well, why are we demanding a 1,000-gallon?
We just say it applies to the city water service centers. We just put that in the code, in the standing.
That it only applies to city.
We probably should say something like that anyway, about it applies only to the city water service area and the local water service provider. You have to follow whatever standards they publish. You don't have to contact them or whatever for their standards. Something like that. It just makes it clear that there are certain parts of our standards that really only apply to our own utilities.
But Meadowmere doesn't have its own standards, does it?
Well, probably because they're built out and there's nobody building anything new in there. Mm-hmm. So, it's not like you have a developer.
We're not connected to KPOD.
What I'm saying is, why would you need a standard? You own and operate your own system. Nobody's building any more of your system, so there's nothing to impose on them as a standard.
The only problem I have with that is, when you get private like that, what if the board of Meadowmere decides that they don't want to spend any money, and Dumbo's sitting in there. I mean, as long as they open the tap and it works. Remember we discussed that. Well, I don't know that they're not spending the right amount of money for fire flow. Who's looking to make sure that the board of Meadowmere isn't a bunch of cheapskates? Like, my mother's got a good... This
well,
is what I thought of.
Sure
my mother's got a different line, so I'm not worried about it, so you guys get nothing.
Well, DOH, you have to report things to DOH, and so they...
How would you know?
Well, they notice maybe the ports aren't getting done, for one thing, maybe. Or the data's not good, and they find that, hey, it doesn't seem like... management is doing what they're supposed to do there.
But even the reverse of that, it isn't Meadowmere. The Homeowner Association just spent a ton of money putting all new pipe and water lines.
Yay, they did a good thing.
3 years ago.
Yeah.
But what if they didn't? How would we know?
Well, they were 37 years old. So
yeah, but I wouldn't have known
but
that.
The people living there would probably have a vested interest in their water.
Yeah, that's the theory.
Anytime anybody sells it, don't you have to sort of...
declare
that this is the water system that
identify the water.
But if it's a public system versus a private well, even a private well, you don't have to. There's really no.
But everybody's aware of it. So
what would it be? What if the city had its own?
Right.
Well, the fire marshal and the police requirements. What if the city had its own fire department?
Well,
would the standard be different for these systems?
I don't think so. He's just doing it as a contract basis, but he's still performing the function. Whether or not, and I think he still says he just does what is in the code. He applies the city code. So he might have helped write that code. I don't know. Probably. Somebody from the fire department probably helped write it. Maybe, yeah.
So where are we going with this, you guys?
I'd like to see a committee of these guys at least making standards for themselves.
Well, to me, the word coordinating is the key, because it's not making them do anything, it's making them sit down and coordinate. And my experience has been, and was back then in the 80s, is you got a bunch of the water utilities there, and they all start talking about how can you do something better?
you know, if you help me on this, I'll help you on that.
Yeah.
That's what
happened with these guys in Ward, right? I mean, that one meeting probably got your ideas going. And I'm thinking, I'd like to interview Ward and get his ideas on this, because apparently he's been thinking about this ever since he talked to you guys, and he must remember something from what you were discussing. And maybe he'll give us an outline of how to write it up.
Well, one thing we need to really dwell on for a minute or two is the limits of the area that we're talking about, because we've got the city and the city water service district. That's one set of boundaries. But then the Bainbridge Island Fire Department district has the rest of the island. And we're an advisory committee to the city council. So how far actually do we expand our recommendation beyond the city service area?
Well,
to me, that's got to be part of our decision here.
We're doing what the council asks, which is to advise them on how to encourage small water systems to cooperate and consolidate. And I think we report back and say, we spent a lot of time on this, way more than we ever had, and we have this following recommendations. This is why it's a problem.
And this committee applies island-wide.
And by the way, there's...
the issue of fire flow is island-wide.
Well, and here's... Mm-hmm. And this is... Nancy and I met before, and we really have... She and I were on the Consolidate Cooperate. You guys are on the fire code thing. But they come together. They're coming together. Which is, how do these smaller systems outside deal... How do they operate?
One of the things they need to cooperate on is fire flow.
Right. Or the standards.
Yeah, or improvement standards.
So it seems like we're just reporting back.
I would love to see the city's flow chart of what regulations apply where and what the process is.
But you've got to be careful with that. I agree. But it's apply to the improvements to water systems, right. Not apply to the development of a house.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Yeah, yeah.
That's a different... They're related.
Different. And Barry said one thing that I was wondering for you to get in Ted's note. You think maybe that the code needs to have an adjustment about this 8-inch pipe, that it only applies to the city of Bainbridge Island water?
That's a standard, not the code, but the design and construction standard.
Design and construction standard needs to be revised.
Clarified on what?
Needs to be clarified.
So
let's get that in the notes so that we remember that. It's a really important.
Let's suppose the city was providing water to the Port of Anger Meadows. Why should the city standard be any different than what KPUD's requirement?
Because they wanted to mesh with their system correctly. They already have 8-inch pipes everywhere else, right?
Yeah, but they may not be able to provide, without some substantial additional pumping capacity or something, the 1,000-gallon a minute, where they could easily provide the 500, but if the city was required to meet. Why would the city have to be? I'm on the city system, therefore I got 1,000 gallons. I'm next door on the KPUD system, therefore I have 500 gallons. I just don't see the rationale.
We can also play that out, by the way. Remember, we all think the city system is Winslow, but you got Fletcher Bay, got Rockaway Beach. Those are, what's the difference between Rockaway Beach and Bill Point, right next to it?
Because someday maybe
they
don't want to connect to city.
Or they ought to connect to each other. So where are we going with this, folks?
Well, it sounded like the fire flow and the consolidation both are helped by this committee, this coordinated committee.
The problem is somebody has to staff it.
You have to,
the usual thing. That's the problem for the Public Works Department. Whoever's going
to... Yeah,
it'd
be nice to have a city employee meet with them.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what the stomach is at the
Luke
city council for
would.
One volunteer committee.
Remember, when he was here, he said he would be on that committee.
Barry, do you have...
By the way, there's an ebb and flow of council and management, city management's thinking about advisory committees or coordinating committee, which is what this would be. Sometimes they're a pain in the tail, and sometimes they're very helpful.
They're always stated to be a pain in the and but we're always creating them.
Right. and the city manager goes, how am I going to staff that committee?
Well, I was going to ask Barry,
Barry, do you have sort of opinions on the path through this? I mean, here we are, and including, you know, if we establish a committee, you'd have to find staffing for it and so on. And,
well, I mean, we don't need a standing committee, so, you know, I don't need a 6 or 7 year committee like Andy was talking about. It needs to be a focused short-term effort, and I think we
to create something.
Yeah,
so
to create something. But I don't...
I thought we were picturing a coordinating committee that each time somebody wants to consolidate, they've got a group of peers to go talk to, and that it could have these two neighboring systems this year and those four neighboring systems.
So a standing committee that meets infrequently as a coordinating. So not, but that wouldn't be the
once every 6 months.
As focusing on a solving this issue. That's
maybe it could be ongoing because they want to have a meeting of peers.
And every separate
from the city.
Yeah, I mean that's
a good
thing.
So what would be the trigger for a small system to come to that committee? Why would they do that?
Because I think her point is because their peers are there. You'd kind of want to know what's going on in the...
Don't you want to talk to each other when he wants to upgrade? Wouldn't you want to talk to you and to Ward and say, what have you done? What happened in the past? What went wrong? What went where?
So you got them meeting to figure out if there's strength in numbers and assets they can share and costs they can share. That's a good thing. But
how about an informational open house about fire flow?
But isn't one of the...
They might not even know it's an issue.
Isn't one of the reasons for meeting that you have to meet the new construction standard unless somebody gives you permission otherwise?
And should they make... Should the original meeting for the first year work on standards and then meet every 6 months for advising people that are upgrading or something or as needed?
Well, you know, we may be... on one hand, if you step back, it's kind of mind-boggling that we had this island and all these water utilities aren't talking to each other. Mm-hmm. Occasionally. Not every day, not every month, not every quarter, but every now and then.
Or have a mechanism to do it.
They ought to be getting together going, God, you know. And that's where I see some value.
Yeah.
And then you can... And my guess is either by city assignment or by the group itself, they would identify an issue to focus on.
But in the beginning, it might just be come and get informed about fire flow. Because what happens with all the fire, and there have been so many forest fires last summer that maybe people could get their attention like, didn't think about that. It's just a fire hydrant. We don't know what's on the other side of the fire hydrant. Don't you turn it on and kids play in it every summer? I mean, maybe there's not a whole lot of awareness about...
A conception of this is a quarterly meeting of a committee, and that it's kind of a stakeholders committee, and that they can come, they can learn, they can consolidate, we can task them, and you...
Bring your issues.
You don't let them grow their role, mission creep for them.
And they could ask for the city to come in as needed to advise them if they had questions.
Well, what about bring anything you'd like to discuss or you've got issues? I mean, maybe know what they
elect their own chairman, self-governing sort of thing.
That's all to be decided.
Do you have the 1980s committee?
I
bet you do.
I
maybe you could bring that as, you know, a starting document to think about.
Well, in a way, it started a little bit like we're talking about. And it was, you know, different owners of utilities and people interested in water came together and sat around the table.
Is this committee, who does it report to? Does it report to this committee? I mean, who, or is it an independent entity?
Well, I don't think it reports to this committee, but I don't know.
Has it a report to? There's a council committee?
And if we're
let the council
fire protection side, it could report to the disaster preparedness committee.
Yeah, but it's more than that.
It could report to this committee.
We could all write up a charge for this committee. All right, so we're all talking about a committee. Jeff came in with a meeting, two meetings ago, it was let's have a committee, and then the last meeting was, I don't know if I want a committee or not. Now, and he still came in with that, but I don't know where we are. What are you thinking, Jeff?
Well, I really wasn't thinking in terms of a standing committee. I would hope out of the formation of the committee that the group would kind of find value and continue on its own in that respect, kind of like Water Pack does down there right. In Silverdale. But that group's a much bigger group, and they're talking about legislation and issues that go so far beyond all of our little needs. But, so, you know, maybe as an outgrowth of working on this one issue, that the connections that would be made would then foster more things that just had nothing to do with the city directly.
Well, you know, that's actually a good starting point, which is to tackle this one issue, one problem we're talking about, and at the end of that, they could make a recommendation of whether the coordinating committee was a good concept to go forward with, but have it charged with this issue of how do we have those systems, water systems, improve in a way that doesn't break the bank, really, for them. That's the charge. That's the initial charge. And then after that, well. So is that where we're going, everybody? I mean, we now need to rewrite this thing.
Where I'm hung up is, is it conceivable that they can come up with a set of rules that applies to all of the situations that haven't been presented to them? Which takes me back to the standing committee. One guy's easy answer may just not work when you get to the next two systems that are farther apart and don't have the same consolidation capability. I mean, I think
you're right.
If maybe you come up with a set of rules, you make a flow chart and a decision tree out of it, we could probably do that now, but I don't think we know the range of situations. This first group is going to be the people who have a problem right now. We're trying to, if they're not even thinking about consolidation because they think their system's fine for the next 20 years, and it's brand new and they're happy operating it.
And we have to inform all these different systems that it exists, right? All the B's and A's need to know it exists.
Sure.
I mean, I like what you're thinking, Andy, that it's one island, it's one aquifer. That's kind of the way the comp plan looks at it. Mm-hmm. Is everybody sticking a straw in the same bowl. And they should be talking to each other all the time. And that's why I like the idea of a standing committee.
But you may want to... To me, we propose that alternative. It could be a standing committee. It could be a committee focused on one item initially. And then see whether it's the benefit justifies going forward.
So I would like to see what it used to be, if you have those.
Sure, I'll find
it. I would like to talk to Ward. He's been a little busy because it's Christmas, and also he has to go to the board to get this water main thing fixed. But I'd like to get in with him and pick his brain, too, and then come back and report back to this committee about what he's thinking. And he could report back about what he had in the past. And then we can, again, talk about what...
All right, can we do that in 2 weeks?
Would KPUD be part of this? And
sure,
they could.
Absolutely. They're a class A.
And so would.
I think we'd want
to.
Start with a smaller group of. Not everybody, not all the B's. But the A's maybe.
But eventually we have to inform.
Just us and KD and Meadowmere and Port Madison or.
You've only got 20 A's.
Yeah.
Because several of the A's are.
So you want to start with the A's.
Some of the A's are the schools.
Yeah.
And
so
you have just to invite all the A's.
I think we'd want to look at the A's and start it with a reasonable group that really is the
Emerald Heights. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're only talking about, there are 20 of them, but the city owns a couple and PD owns a couple, so you're only talking about 12 or 15.
But they already meet the fire flow requirements, right?
A's?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, they don't?
No. They're all over the map.
They just meet all sorts of drinking water requirements.
Right.
Yeah, that's the way that goes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. 20s, more.
All right, so let's do this. Let's talk. And Nancy and I are going to begin to start writing up our thing about consolidating small water systems. You guys are thinking about this fire code. They're going to come together, I think. So we may end up with one memo instead.
That would be part of it.
Instead of two. So between now and the next meeting, you're going to...
I'm going to gather more information.
Talk with info. I'll see if I can find it all.
For ideas.
Nancy, what's his name again?
Ward Frost. F-R-O-S-T.
And then we can meet. So that are we done with this topic for today?
Do we need KPUD to come talk about this role again?
No, I don't think so.
No, they said they'd be interested in participating in the group.
So we have two more topics that we added to the agenda, and then we're going to talk about the meeting schedule for the rest of the year. The topic 4A was the Yakina question, potential expansion, and Casey, the council approved that?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And so we need to talk about what they are
doing. No, just there. That, no, so, you know, there was just another anecdotal person who was having water questions about connecting in that area.
Okay.
One of many that we've talked to already. So really that one is...
Oh, that was the guest who didn't show?
Yeah. I don't know.
To me, this is a... And I'd like later or next time for us to talk about 2018 topics, which we might want to do, and well, this is one of them, I think.
Yeah.
We got to talk about this. Do we want to spend time on that area? Okay.
Right.
So the rate study process, you had a question about that?
Not so much a question as I don't know to what extent advisory committees have been involved in the specifics of a consulting project. But you know, we talked about the kinds of things we wanted to get out of this rate study and to make sure that happens and but it's. Do we have some influence on how it's tailored? I guess is what I'm trying to where I'm going with this. So we get a usable product for down the road because we'll need another binder on the shelf.
So what was your concern with the approval?
Well, I don't know at this point whether...
What's the next step?
Whether the city just has the authority now to put out an RFP and next thing we know it's underway and then ultimately we get this presentation from the consultants and we
after
go...
After the fact.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to avoid is, you know, the day comes when one of the consultants are ready to come talk to you about what they've done.
We should request that we get to talk to the board.
It sounds like
well,
like an
interest in yeah, that's what I don't know.
Shaping the work plan or
right. And I don't know whether citizen advisory committees get involved in that at all.
Well, it has happened. I mean, that's certainly what happened on the municipalization. We wrote the RFP.
So maybe we have task force. Barry, what do you think is the timing and process for this? Here we are.
Hopefully,
the first week of December.
Rights, you know, draft it up and get it on the street maybe in December, maybe early, first of the year, and interview, hopefully get some proposals and interview by February, March, and get it underway and mostly done by the summer, hopefully. I mean, that would be the goal.
So should we put it on the agenda and discuss what needs to be included?
And I mean, it's reasonable what you're saying, because if we're going to bring it to the committee to endorse or make a recommendation, then you want the information that you would be comfortable making a recommendation about.
Can we get a look at the scope of work draft before?
Yeah, and we can do that.
I mean, that's considerable.
We've got a couple, but we can. I haven't dusted it off again to get it going, but I need to do that soon. So
well, and it should get tweaked to the fact that all the systems have their own rate. Schedules.
Well, that's one of the things. You know, what are we asking? Are we asking
for right?
A full class of customer type analysis based on all the different categories of service and locations of service?
Yeah, and then to that extent, if we're participating in the interviews, then we can ask questions. This is,
you know, is what we're trying to do a reasonable objective? I mean, are we trying to parse things in ways? Well, I see where you're going, but you don't really get there that way. You have to do this to do that.
So I wrote down two things. We're going to review, if it's okay, we'll review the scope of work with the committee, the staff's drafted. And in the past, the UAC had a member on the interview committee. Mm-hmm. And I assume we would do that again. And I don't know, you have a process for interviewing consultants.
Well, we just put it together each time. It's not that formal. Yeah,
it's not so. So we would have somebody involved in the interview process. Yeah. And one more, it's up to you. Yeah. And then the consultant gets selected. And the consultant goes out and does his work, and then
I think
we don't do anything until they add a draft for us to look at.
So I'd be, you know.
By the way, I will tell you from the last time when this was done in 2011.
Nine.
Yeah, but was it nine?
Yeah.
Okay. The first draft that the FCSG did, the UAC spent several weeks going over in detail, so it was not a 5-minute wave by. So you should expect, and they should expect, a couple of meetings certainly, because they may very well come back and want to jigger with what if you raise the base rate this much, or if you reduce the base rate, or if you do this or that. What does it really mean?
Was there a budget approved for the study?
Yeah, $100,000, I think 50 for each. That's just a round number. I mean, that, you know, you never know until it depends on what we're asking them to do.
Yeah, the scope of work.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be, it got voted on, and then a contract will come for it.
Yeah.
So that's just the budget to work with. Now we got to deal with finding a scope that.
So for everybody's anticipation of time frame, if you're really getting the consultant hired in February, it's going to take 3 months, 4 months to do their work. That means they're not done until the summer. That means next summer we would be spending time on this with them.
Right. There might be some touches as the before it's done, obviously asking for guidance, or here's the initial some checkpoints.
Right. So if that's the schedule, maybe that's the way we are. So the answer to your question is that he can do the scope of work. We can all look at it.
So, I mean, we could try to do it by next meeting.
Sure.
Get going.
Sure. And, I think we have to
start shaping it.
RFP out.
Well, I don't think I want to put out right before Christmas. It'd probably be like right after the first of the year.
Just to be clear, what we're putting out, you actually put out a statement of qualifications. Request for qualification.
Right, because it's A&E rules, right?
Yes, the A&E rules.
Best qualified selection.
And actually, it is interesting. I've done research on this. You do not need to go through that process for financial consultants. They're not architects or engineers.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, it's not.
So
not really
you go do to not have
services. It's just a personal services. Yeah, it could be just.
You can do anything you want.
Yeah.
There's no law that requires.
I guess that's where I'm interested in being able to talk to these individual consultants about doing a process that gets the answers we want, not the process that they would normally, the package they would bring in.
Yeah.
You go back to the one in 09, you can see lots and lots of projections, and you go, well, first of all, it's a good thing we didn't follow any of them, because the water system would actually be in debt today
right.
if we followed them. And second of all, we don't need them to do projections. We don't need them to tell us what the rates need to be. We can figure all that out. Or Ellen can figure that out as well. And all we need to do is know what to charge, how much to charge the multifamily home versus the single family home. If you know the single family home is 100%, you charge the multifamily home 120 or whatever the relationship is. You need to know the relationship.
The same as the schools and the business.
Yeah, and that was my other problem is when I looked at that other one. Schools were lumped into commercial, and I really wonder, because
in our base here, commercial's not that big relative to schools in this water system. And schools are, of course, active in the winter, and commercial is all these restaurants really active in the summer. And so they may look fairly flat, where there really is two very different cycles going on. But we put them in the same class, and we say, okay, they're steady. They're not peak users. It's all the homeowners that are peak users. And that just may be because you sliced the sausage wrong. So assuming, since you don't have to go through the AE rules and you don't have to request their qualifications, nothing prevents you from just contacting the half a dozen or so companies that do this work. There really aren't that many.
Right.
And saying, come on in for an interview, or here's where we are.
Right. I mean, we've got to tell them a little bit about what do you ask, what do you want us to do?
Yes, you do have to do that stuff. You do have to do that. And I think we should have an expectation when it maybe hasn't fully flushed out, but at least we're all going down the same path. Right.
Then, since it's not architects and engineers, price is an object, too, there. Qualifications.
It's well, that's qualified. But even now, yeah, you could ask for a proposal, a price component, an estimate.
So I used to teach this stuff.
Yeah.
And the point I drove home to those kind of people that are going to be proposing is that they have to identify what the client wants. So we better figure out how to tell them what we want.
Right, that's the scope.
Thank you. That is exactly the scope.
Yeah.
You're right. All right, well, let's let them come up with a scope, and we can play with it. Maybe next time. We can keep going on this thing. I actually think the sooner the better.
So that would be
because otherwise, for your budget process, if we're futzing around with this late next summer, that's going to really mess up.
Yeah. So
the sooner the better.
Yeah.
Okay, is that enough on that?
Yeah.
All right. So, up schedule for the rest of the year. So, the next meeting is December something, 9th?
13th, yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. That sounds right.
Yep.
And we're not going to have the meeting on the 26th or 9th or whatever it was.
27th.
And are we going to, question is whether we're going to have a special meeting before that or we're going to not.
Bahamas.
No,
I won't be doing that. That's 2 weeks.
So.
Oh, again, then we can't do it.
So are we going to do everything on the 13th? So what are we going to do on the 13th? We're going to report back on the subject we talked about. And I do think we need to, what I want, I was
going to need a new council liaison.
So. Yes, we are. We need a new council liaison. Well, what I was going to do is, actually, Jeff, and I thought you and I could have a cup of coffee, look at the council work plan they gave us for this year, and then come up with some ideas as to discuss at the 13th about what the council might ask us to do for next year, so we could give them a report.
We don't have anything to do with determining what council member it is. Don't they just assign us?
Yeah, they
just assign it, but I think it, I mean, you don't even know who the mayor will be or any of this stuff, but I think I mean, if there's, I'm just trying to think of who's shown an interest in utilities. Obviously, Sarah has a
She was liaison for a couple of years.
I think it might make sense to identify one of the new three council members that are you can kind of get educated on our utility situation.
Unless you want Ron, who seems pretty negative about this committee.
Someone in the electrical utility business, somewhat.
Yeah, Joe makes sense.
Who's Joe?
Joe Dietz.
Ooh. Well, what about Matt?
Yeah,
new to the scene.
I don't know that well.
New to the island, but smart guy.
Well, he's we'll be energetic.
We'll let the council decide that.
Yeah.
All right. So that meeting on 13th is 5 o'clock.
Someone, if you want, I'll talk to Jeff.
What?
I'll talk to Jeff.
Why is Ron negative on this committee?
I don't know. I haven't even talked to him. He just
maybe listening to
Robert. Maybe that's not different than.
Yeah, I wonder if that's all it is. I mean, do we need somebody to talk to Ron? Like Jeff?
No, that's okay.
Yeah.
You don't pay, you
gotta pay
enough. I don't think
Joe would be better. All right,
so I've been somewhere rather than mine.
Yeah,
I agree.
But still, it'd be nice to get different information than Rob's.
Well, part of it is just getting the business done. I think Joe might be a better in terms of.
I think.
Liaison.
Ron.
I mean,
Sarah, Ron and Sarah probably. They're not happy that we. I think the perception from the rate study for those that were there was like, oh, wait, you're not going to do this ill-defined efficiency analysis at SWIM. And Sarah was not happy about that at all.
She wanted to do it.
I mean, I have my own opinions about it, but my sense is that it was, you know, it got too defined by what Robert wanted it to be, and then Sarah didn't really feel that's what it was supposed to be, and then she's like, well, you know, that nobody was a champion of the study, and then we got to talking about it, and I was like, well, we can't find a good reason to go do this. And my argument was, well, you know, just because we have an organization, you need to audit it. To have a reason to audit it, and there you go, audit anything you want. If you want it, and so why would we spend that money unless we
but that particular audit's better suited to do it when you're doing the whole
thing. Yeah.
Well, Sarah didn't like the direction
it went,
or
Sarah kind of seemed to interpret it that we were negative on doing the study, and we weren't negative, we didn't come up with a justification for it.
Yeah.
And if you're going to spend
money, it should be a goal.
Right, so if somebody questioned us, as, you know, I can see a council standing, and we're standing up there, and the council's going, and so why do you think we should do this? Well, because it sounds like a good idea.
Yeah.
Well, needed
that.
Better
to check than not check.
You might find some recommendations that make good things. I mean, you could, you know.
There was no smoking.
You could audit the HR department if you wanted. Right. You could audit any organization.
Okay.
Just because it's separately billed doesn't give it enough of a
reason. But Sarah thought there wasn't.
Yeah, well, and council was free to go ahead and do the study.
Well,
I mean, just because we did.
Maybe we needed to have Sarah explain her point of view or something.
It'll come back in a year.
When it came up. Yeah. It might come back, and it might. And
not
it might be better to find. Yeah, after that vote, maybe anyway.
Okay, so December 13, we'll meet again. We can report further on all of these, and hopefully a scope of work. Mm-hmm. And maybe
and
you and I can
right.
have a sort of a.
December.
You can meet my meeting before.
After
we should have to do.
And then after December 13, when's the next meeting?
Not until January. Yeah. That's like unless you want to have a special meeting like a swimout or something.
Like New Year or Christmas Eve.
So January 10th. The 10th. And did we want to reopen 5 o'clock or 4:30?
I could do 5. I could do 4.
I can't do 4:30.
You can't do 4:30.
I work.
It's something.
She gets to now. She gets to drive back across the bridge.
Works fine with
in the traffic.
At every time you want.
All right. Such dedication, Emily. Thank you, everybody. I think we're done.
All right.